did that.
That is fancy.
I did that one time too. They're still cheap. I mean, they're not as cheap as Jenny, but they're Jenny. They're not as cheap
you
as
leave
Benny.
Jenny out of this. All right.
What did Jenny do?
What did Jenny do? Ow. Jenny's just minding her own business. What's the, there's an 80s song about Jenny.
Yeah, 867-5309.
Is that her phone number? Is that how you call Jenny? Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. 7-5-309.
867-5309.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew that was, I just couldn't think of it.
Yep,
I'm
that's it.
off today.
That's all right. We got a new, not really a new, but an updated review
Ooh,
at
there it
the
is.
end
There it
too.
is. Oh my God. I love it.
And she's sweet.
Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh my God. Quote, this is the podcast equivalent of a mug of hot cocoa. I'm gonna cry on the couch when it's snowing outside. The hosts are funny, friendly, and say very Midwestern things like oofta, which I love. No complaints. No complaints for you. We love you so much.
I know she's
And
great.
I know you might think that we put the oofdas in, you know, because we're Midwestern. No, they just come organically.
A lot of times, yeah.
We don't have to think about them. We will just say them. Oofta and ulp. If I had a nickel for every time I said ulp, I could retire. That is the sweetest. That almost made me cry. That is so sweet. All right. Should we jump on in?
Let's just jump right on
Let's
in
just
to
dive in.
the main event. It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder.
Main event. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Tonight, we are doing our deep dive into the Dead Files episode we recapped last time, which is Lady in Black, Season 10, Episode 6. So, this is Amy's research and rabbit holes. Amy told me I could look at the notes that she has in there, but we all know I didn't. So, listeners, you and I are going to be having the same reactions because I like to be surprised. I don't like to know.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I
I didn't wasn't meaning that you should have
She
studied
did.
ahead of time. I just
She,
meant while we're
yeah.
doing this, go ahead and look if you want to. But if
We
you don't want
just,
to, that's fine.
she just had a break to scold me. And she was like, I told you this was going to be on the midterm review
Told you
and you
how many
didn't
times?
study. And then she goes, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Disappointed.
Yeah. So just kidding. She didn't say that.
This reminds me of Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey,
Yes.
where Daisy and Ellen's always like, Daisy, can you just mute for a second? I want to, like, she acts like she's taking it offline, but they're still rolling. And then she'll be like, Ben or whoever her their editor's name is, cut that part out. And he never does. But she's always like scolding Daisy, like, can you just not be like that? Can you just like, until
They
she's like,
do
what are you
that.
talking about?
Ellen and Joey do that on the I Think
Oh,
Not
do they?
podcast too, where they'll be like, I just want to, Joey, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you making me look so fucking dumb? You do this every, you're not better than me. Like, it's just so, and then they go, okay, we're back. We're nobody, you guys didn't hear that? Okay. The thing about good podcasts is like ours, is I feel like Joey and Ellen are my friends. They have no idea who I am, but I'm like, we're best friends. Like, we hang out, like Daisy and Ellen and I are, we're gonna hang out this weekend.
And that's how it should be. I mean, that's the kind of podcast that I tend to stray to, or to not
Yes.
stray,
She
go back
strays
to,
from. Because it's
is
just
because,
like, it's come, like, you feel like they're talking to you, not at you. And so that's why I love, I Think Not with Joey and Ellen. I laugh every single episode. Every single episode. And I have like those niche, inside jokes that every time I hear it in the wild, I want to say it, but I'm like,
Nobody
nobody's
knows
gonna get this, and then I'll look like a fucking
it.
idiot. But they would laugh.
Yeah, they would. Yeah,
So,
I love that.
yeah. All right, let's do
All
it.
right, so we're gonna just get into it here.
Let's dive in.
All right, let's dive right in. My notes. Where are my notes? I have some over
So
here.
we're not diving in. Amy's got to
No.
find her
Yeah,
notes.
I just had them in the wrong tab. I didn't have it open. All right. So usually the first thing I do is search for the clients and or the house. I found both. Kelly and Mike, according to Zillow, are still living in that house.
Wow.
I found the house on Zillow, and it shows the last sell date was November 1st, 2013, and this episode was released in 2018, so that's got to be her. And it sold when they bought it, it sold for 69% under the asking price. It
Oh,
dropped. So
wow.
it was in July of 2013, it was on the market for $109,000. And then just 4 months later, it dropped almost 70% in price.
And
So
where's, remind the listeners where this is again?
this is in Marshalltown, Iowa.
Wow. I wonder if it dropped because of the activity or if there was something else that, or if it was just on there for a long time. Because that
Oh, it was on it.
2013
It was on
was
the,
not.
yeah, it was only on that for that amount for 4 months. And then it
But
dropped.
that's kind of a
So
long time in a, when you're buying, when you're selling a house, isn't it?
I'm, yeah,
4 months?
I guess, but I mean, it
But then
depends.
to drop 70%,
Yeah.
like usually you drop like, you know, a few thousand.
Right.
You don't drop fucking 70%.
Right. Unless you're me trying to sell my mom's condo. But
Which, hey, if anyone's interested,
hey, if
condo in
anyone's
Minneapolis.
interested, yep, it's actually a co-op, which is what is scaring people away. But it's a great spot. Anyway, so I found a Facebook post that was about this house. And I was reading through all the comments, and one person said, I grew up in this house from 1971 to 1986. Great place with nice neighbors. I even helped build the deck. I saw the Dead
Whoa.
Files. I saw the Dead Files show, LOL, not haunted then. And my bed was up against the attic stairs. Lots of good positive
Interesting.
memories.
Okay, that doesn't mean that it wasn't haunted. That person might have just been a null. And
And
the
then
ghosts
someone
were
else.
probably pissed off, like, what do we gotta
Yeah.
do to scare this
Do I
person?
have to push your face into the stairs?
Son of a bitch. Sorry, everybody, for your children listening.
We have a disclaimer on it.
We do.
So someone else then said, well, I lived there for 15 plus years, never anything but a great childhood.
Yeah.
But that made me wonder, okay, so these people may be just not sensitive enough to
Yeah.
be aware of it. But also, I wondered if maybe from Kelly and Mike's investigations, because they were paranormal
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
investigators,
Yep.
maybe they brought something home. I mean,
Yeah, they could
not
have.
probably not the lady, the dead lady carrying the two
Yeah.
children around because she died in that house.
Yeah.
But there were other people that didn't match up, that like when I looked back, they never actually matched up to the people that we were talking about or that
Yeah.
Steve found. So it those could have been people that just came home
Yeah.
with Kelly and Mike sometime.
Or a third option too is they could just write everything off. Like they hear, you know, oh, I imagined it, or, you know, the breeze made the door close or something. So,
For sure.
but again, but we're not just saying that these people who wrote those comments, we don't believe them. We absolutely believe them that they did not have any experiences,
For
but
sure.
that doesn't mean that it's not haunted. It just means that, you know, maybe they couldn't experience them the way Kelly and Mike do. So I don't want anyone to think that we're shitting on those Facebook
No, no.
commenters, because we're completely not.
Not at all. No.
No. But I think the theory that Kelly and Mike brought something home, that might actually be a good one, because I mean, Amy has said that there have been a couple of times where she's brought stuff home from investigations. You know, how long had they been doing investigations? I don't think it was a
Don't know.
long, long time, but it might have been from their first time when they were inexperienced and didn't know to put up guards or barriers or, you know, so again, there's a lot of different explanations for that.
Sure.
That was a big word.
That is a big word.
I'm so smart.
Explanation of four syllables.
Dang.
So I did find Kelly and Mike online, found their last name and everything. I found them on LinkedIn and Facebook, but none of their profiles were updated recently, like in the last few years. So I didn't reach out. I didn't bother them. But Kelly, Mike, if you're listening, or Nikki, or Chris, or the dog, I was thinking about that dog. This was 8 years ago. That dog might not be with us anymore.
Probably not.
But he sure was a cutie.
He was a cute, no good little puppy dog.
But anyway, we'd love to talk to you if you want to come on the show and give us your experiences that we really
We'd
liked
love.
you and we
Oh my
thought it
gosh,
would
we loved
be,
you.
yeah, and we thought it would be, I think it'd be
Yeah.
really fun to talk to you. So if you're out there and you're listening, DM me, email me, send a message,
Yeah.
Lots of ways to contact.
Lots of
And
ways. There's even a phone number
there's a
that you
phone
can
number.
call.
There is. I don't think I post it anymore
Oh.
because I was starting to get a lot of spam. Like I was starting to get a lot of just junk randos
Yeah,
calling
yeah,
and
yeah.
hanging up
Yeah.
and shit. But you can leave a voicemail on our website
Yeah.
and or you can send a text or DM or whatever. Anyway, there was in the one person po on the Facebook post. I'm back to that now, the Facebook post.
Sure, sure.
One person posted a photo of the filming at night. Shows like Amy and Matt out front by the car and all that, that's all lit up. And then there's actual also lights on inside the house. So that must have been before they went in.
Yeah.
Like they must shut off the lights when Amy comes
Yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then one comment said that a couple days after the episode aired, the house was hit by a tornado.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And
That's scary.
yeah. And when I Googled Mike, I found that he was quoted in a newspaper article about the tornado.
Yeah.
And he's mostly talking about when he was at work, because wherever he was working in downtown, it got hit there. But I read it a while ago. I don't really remember everything he said. But I'll put the link to that blog post. I mean, I'll link
That
it
is
in our
so
blog post.
scary.
I know. So I did find out some more stuff about them, but it wasn't relevant to this, so skip
Okay.
it. When I looked up Angela Braddock, and I'll get to her next. I found on her wiki tree, which I didn't even know that was a thing.
Is that like a family tree?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was an email in her profile that was written by Kelly and Mike
Oh, yeah.
to a woman named Kay Braddock, who I assume is a relative of Angie Braddock.
Sure.
I tried searching all around to see if I could find her. And I was like, well, if she's Angie Braddock, because Angie Braddock married Kendall Roberts, so her last name was really Roberts, which means that Braddock is her maiden
Main,
name. So
yeah.
now we got to look for people who were connected to Angie, not to Kendall. And
Yeah.
I got a,
That sounds
rabbit
complicated.
hole that didn't go anywhere.
That ended in a dead end.
Yeah.
I hate it when those rabbit holes end in a dead end.
I
So do the rabbits.
know. So I will read you that letter.
Okay.
It's an email. Yada,
Which
yada,
is just
yada,
a
yada.
modern day letter.
It's a modern day letter. That's right. Okay. So this is from July of 2017.
Okay.
So would have been probably just before
The tape,
they
the
called
they
the
showed
Dead
up.
Files. Yeah. The Roberts were the original owners of a home we purchased 3 years ago. The home was built in 1910, located across the street from my childhood home, my parents. We kept our other home and spent 2 years working on this house prior to moving in. The relocation was to be closer to my parents and to assist them as they need. Strange things happen in our home quite often. Wine glasses fly off the rack as we pass
No.
by. The covers get pulled off our bed,
Absolutely
which
not.
she talked about in the show.
Yep.
My husband and myself have both been scratched in our sleep.
Was it the dogs?
It was that little white dog.
You boozing?
Two of our grandchildren, ages 3 and 4, asked who the old lady was in our spare bedroom upstairs.
Goodbye.
Yeah. They had evidently been talking to her while they were up
Sure.
there.
Sure.
I
No.
could go on and on, but I simply want to give you an idea of the vast amount of activity that takes place in our home. And then it says, next, we own a business here. One of our businesses, we recently found out, used to be a boarding house in the 1800s, early
Great,
1900s.
great.
Kendall Roberts, which is Angie's husband, the faith
Yep.
healer, was a resident there. We also started having activity at the office after we moved into our home. Our office was in that location for 11 years prior to that with no issues. Interesting. So that tells me they
So
brought something there too.
they were the office was the same, but then they moved into the new house that they had been doing construction on, and then once they moved into that house, then the office.
Yep.
Yep, they for sure brought something or fought
Yep.
something followed them.
Yeah. Let's see. It gets better.
Great.
My husband has spent several years compiling data from cemeteries for Find a Grave for genealogy use and others. He has done most of the cemeteries in central Iowa. Marietta Cemetery is the one that he photographed and uploaded all the details from. as I was watching TV one evening, my laptop screen came on and froze to a photo of a headstone. It was Angie's.
No! No!
Yeah. She said, at that time, I had no idea who she was or that they even owned our home.
Oh, my gosh.
It's as if for 2 years, both of them have in every way been linked to my husband and my lives for some reason or are trying to tell us something important.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the information from our abstract that shows the details of the home. I believe, if I remember right, the home was gifted to Kendall and Angie by Kendall's father, who later died in debt. And unfortunately, Kendall and Angie, after losing their children, lost their home to pay off his father's debt. It seems there's been a lot of bad. Looking through our abstract, there was a death of an owner each year for 13 years after Roberts lost the house.
Ooh, and 13 is considered an unlucky number. I mean, you know, usually.
Yeah. She says so many oddities. Therefore, I felt that maybe reaching out and trying to connect may get us some answers. I certainly hope all this makes sense. Thank you so much for responding and for your time, Kelly and Mike.
That was a letter to the Dead Files.
That was a letter to Kay Braddock, who is a relative of Angie Braddock. And Kay posted this on on this page.
That's
this
right.
Wiki
you said
tree
that. Sorry,
page.
I forgot.
No, that's okay.
That is insane.
So, yeah. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
And I thought she ended it with, anyone who might have information about this is encouraged to send a private message, which makes me think it's a Facebook post or something. But Kay says it's an email that she got from Kelly and Mike.
Well, maybe it was an email, but then Kay posted it to her blog or something. And yeah,
that could be.
Yeesh. That is terrifying.
So Angie, she was born in 1862. They moved into the property in 1918.
And Angie's the woman who lost all of her kids, right?
Yes.
Or who's the ghost who was carrying the kids around?
Yes. She had four children in total. Two of them passed. One of them was an infant who didn't even have a name. She must have died in childbirth or even before she was born.
Yeah.
And then the one that choked on a button, that's Paul Roberts. And he died when he was three.
Yeah.
And then Angie died on March 26, 1922 in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Her death certificate says that March 27th, but the wiki thing said, or the genealogy thing said it was March 26th. I don't know. One day difference. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Not a big deal.
No. So I had trouble finding Kendall Roberts. Remember they talked about how he was responsible, or that people believed he was responsible for deaths of people who were sick, that he was trying to.
Yes, because he was the fake doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I Googled him and I had trouble finding him because his name is spelled different every time I turn around.
Great.
So it's either. So in that letter that Kelly wrote, it is K-E-N-D-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
His death certificate says K-E-N-D-E-L-L.
Okay.
And the newspaper calls him Kendall K-E-N-D-A-L-L or just K-C Roberts.
This is I would go off the death certificate.
I would too.
Because
these are definitely about him.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
articles
yeah.
I found.
Mm-hmm.
So there, at one point, there was a coroner's inquiry regarding the death of a church member. And this was in February of 1898.
Mm-hmm.
But the jury was censured. Now, I didn't know what that meant. So I I asked Morgan.
Can I take a guess at what it means?
Uh-huh.
Is it like the jury is anonymous and you don't know who's in the jury, but like a spokesperson says no? Okay, I got nothing then.
Nope. I'll read a little bit of the article. It says the coroner's inquiry sitting in the case of Miss Mary Rambaugh, who died at Marshalltown after being treated by Casey Roberts, a Christian Science healer, returned the following verdict, which leaves the questions open to further prosecution if desired.
Oh.
Now, this is in quotes. Said jurors, upon oath, do say that we have taken testimony in the case of Mrs. Mary Rambaugh and are satisfied that she came to her death from heart disease, but that we censure her brother, Gregory Granville, and Dr. Casey Roberts for neglect of proper medical attention.
So it's almost like an accessory.
Yeah, the brother for sure.
Like, or like a cause, like you, while you didn't cause her death, you didn't do anything to stop her death. And I've
I
never
think
heard that
so.
before.
But the censure just means that we don't have enough to say we need to have a trial for these people, but we do think there's something hinky, and we are leaving it open to a prosecution in the future should you find more
Got
evidence,
it.
blah, blah, blah.
Got it.
So the way that Morgan broke it down for me is that they were saying, we believe this woman died from heart disease, but we formally shame and blame these people for failing to get her
Nice.
proper medical
And I
attention.
mean, back then, formally shaming someone was a big deal.
Exactly.
Like, that could ruin your life.
Yeah, that's actually what Morgan said too.
Oh my God, Morgan and I are so
I
connected.
know. She said, important distinction, coroner's jury is not the same as a criminal trial jury. And she said it means not yet convicted, but definitely put on blast in the newspapers of the day, which back then was practically the social equivalent of being dragged through the town behind a tuba section.
Yeah, well, I mean, geez. That's a very good picture, Morgan. Thank you for that.
So then Robert skipped town after this.
Well, he had to. I mean, what else could he do? Nobody else would go to him, for your Christian science, doctor tomfoolery.
Foolery. So the judge dismissed the case on grounds of insufficient evidence, stating that his action was not to be construed as meaning that Christian scientists had any right under the law to practice the healing out without first healing art without first complying with the statutes.
Good.
So there was no trial.
No.
Then a year later, in 1899, he was indicted for a man who died of typhoid fever under his care. The
Sensing
coroner's
a theme.
inquiry turned the same censured thing as Mary's
Yeah.
case. And this man was Frank Howell.
Okay, but how many people have to die before
I know.
somebody is like, wait, this is a pattern? And I feel like we're going through the same thing today. Like, how many people need to die before we're like, wait a minute, this is not right. So glad to see nothing's changed in 100 years.
Nothing changes. Just
Great.
feels like it's changing, but it really isn't.
Yeah.
One interesting thing I found on newspapers.com is there's an article where Angie filed for divorce from
What?
Kendall.
When?
Let's see if I have the
Because
date.
the last two
It was
trials you talked about were late 1890s.
right. It was 1899, I want to say.
Okay. So she was like, I'm done with you. Was the
So
divorce granted?
no.
Ugh, of course
No.
not.
Applications made in Robert's divorce case are denied.
Of course not.
So she was divorcing him, saying that he neglected his family due to the defendant's work in the church. She claims that
Well,
he
that was
sent.
a terrible re that was a terrible thing for her to have said, honestly. And I'm not blaming her, but like he's been on trial here for fucking murder twice. Like, maybe use that.
I mean, that's probably a good portion of the reason. And then he's sending money to other people in the church.
Well, that wouldn't have flown. I'm sorry, but like, and I'm not, again, I'm not blaming her. Like, she had limited resources at the time, but the 1890s, from what I remember, were, I mean, you're pr that
Remember like
was
it was yesterday.
like it was yesterday. America was still pretty religious. So, trying to divorce somebody because they're giving too much money to a church, nobody's going to see that as being harmful.
Although I don't think that people saw his church as a church, like you would see that, your Lutheran church or your Catholic church, because it sounds to me like they all thought it was
Like it was
hooey.
tomfoolery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, she did not get the
That
divorce
sucks
granted,
for her.
and so she applied for the divorce in October. It was denied in November. She was still married to him. They were still married at the time of both of their deaths because their death certificate has each other as like his
As the
says
spouse.
widowed, because he died a year after her. His says widowed, hers says married too. And so she was married to him for 24 years after she tried to divorce him.
That's got to have been
That's
horrible
awful.
for her.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have to live with it, but now he knows that you wanted to leave. So what's
Yeah.
he going to do with that?
Probably nothing that he wasn't already doing before.
That's true.
I mean, so yeah, he died of chronic kidney disease, which I looked at it and it didn't say kidney disease on the death certificate. So I was digging around and trying to figure out what it,
What
I
did the
couldn't
death
read it.
certificate say?
It said CR period nephritis. So chronic nephritis, which is
What?
kidney disease.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that
Yeah,
that's what it
okay.
said.
Why
And
do
then
we
when I saw
gotta?
that's what it said, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Why do we gotta use fancy words, you
I
guys?
don't know.
Just say kidney disease.
Old timey.
Yeah.
So he died just 1 year after Angie, but he did not die in the house. In fact, he wasn't even living there.
Wow.
His death certificate shows that is from the county Cerro Gordo and Mason City as the city. So I'm going to assume they were separated.
I was just gonna say maybe they were only married in name and like they were completely living separate lives, which I hope so for her sake. I don't care about him, but I hope so for her sake.
Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face to face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy, cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just add bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. All right, so moving on to the other people. Victim Susan K. Vickers. She's the veterans home, and she was kidnapped and murdered and blah,
Of
blah, blah
course. Yeah.
by Jerry Sumpter Jr. He's the one with
Oh,
all the,
right.
oh no, he's not the one with the all the appeals. I get Jerry and Joel mixed up.
I thought Jerry
Jerry,
was the one with the appeals.
I think it's Joel. Yeah, it's Joel Smitherman.
Okay.
Anyway, so yes, this was in 1980. She was divorced. She had three children. She was an LPN nurse. And her cause of death was basal skull fracture with cerebral hemorrage. And
Why you gotta scorn Basil's name like that? They do good work, like pesto. We all know how I love pesto.
I do. I do too. So it says blow to the head. This is on her death certificate. It's a blow to the head, and then in parentheses, exact cause and type undetermined.
Ooh,
I couldn't find
okay.
anything else on her, but you know, it was a homicide.
Yeah.
Jerry Sumpter Jr., he is the murderer. He's the one. Oh, he is. You're right. He's the one that kept filing appeals.
Yeah.
And we talked about most of these. Megan, you read them,
Yeah.
a bunch of stuff that you found, so I'm not going to rehash
I
all
mean,
that.
he was appealing like
Dumbest
very
things.
recently, though. Very recently. Like, I want to say in the 20s, 2020s, he'd had appealed.
I think so.
And yeah, it was the stupidest reasons. Like, I can't remember them. That's how stupid they were.
I
But
don't.
I think I read them in this episode. So if you want to listen to what they are, go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, you
But
can go back and listen to
it,
that.
they're fucking dumb.
They're just dumb.
It's like,
and
my
I have.
Page was white paper when I wanted yellow paper.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we should appeal.
Like, I remember one of them was that he said that the judge didn't explain what reasonable doubt was.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was
so,
like, how is the jury supposed to know?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
they just said I was guilty, and that they don't understand that
it's literally the phrase, like, reasonable doubt. I don't.
Yeah.
They're not four syllable words, like, like me.
Yeah, like you. Me
I
is
could,
only one syllable.
I know, but like I use. You're right. That was pretty funny.
I did find an article, probably one of the same ones that you found, and so I'll put the links in the show notes, and you guys can all dig around that if you want to, or I'll put it in the blog post. But on this one website, a law website called Justia Law, said on February 5th, 1984, he called police from a convenience store to report a murder. The victim was a girl who was working at the store. She was raped and beaten to death, and he was taken to the police. And I couldn't figure out how he was able to be in a convenience store in 1984 when he killed Susan in 1980. Well, the reason.
It probably took him a long time to build a case.
Yeah.
Because, like,
so,
when was DNA evidence? I mean, that was late 80s, I think.
I don't remember, but yeah, it probably was.
Like, I don't, you know.
I don't know if they even used DNA for this. Well, at any rate, the woman that was in the convenience store, her name was Janet Lewis, or Levis, L-E-V-I-S, spelled differently in different places. But he was convicted in Marshall County District Court and sentenced to consecutive life terms.
Okay.
And
So
that is where he was appealing. He appealed all of those too.
Yeah.
Confession mechanics and, you know, so like he said, it was coerced and all that. And he said they
sure,
promised
Jan.
to get him alcohol treatment if he said he did it. And it's all sorts of shit like that.
So I did a quick cursory Google search, and it
Okay.
says DNA evidence was first used in a criminal investigation in 1986 in England. So
Oh.
1986 UK, the first forensic case of DNA profiling to catch a suspect and clear an innocent person. 1987 was the first use in a US courtroom. It was the People v. Wesley, and the first DNA-based conviction in the US was Florida v. Andrews. So this was, I mean, that was 7 years after he killed
Susan.
Susan, and, you know, 4 years after, or 3 years after the convenience store.
Right. Yeah.
It must have been so easy to commit crimes.
Yeah.
Like, you
it was
literally
back then.
Just
Well,
did not have to be at the scene.
Look at things that, you know, that crimes stories that we know from the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, Black Dahlia, Zodiac. I mean, all those
JonBenet?
Things. Yeah.
Which was the 90s?
Right. Well, yeah.
Was
Kenda
it the
says
90s?
That'll never be solved because
No,
they
it
fucked
won't.
it up too much.
They did. I mean, they let him, he moved her body. Oh, I don't want to get into it.
I don't know.
But yeah, like, it literally, it must have been so easy to commit a crime before DNA and all this technology.
Yeah. I'm
Like,
sure.
You literally just had to not be at the crime scene.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is while he was serving the life sentences from this Janet murder. That's when a prison inmate came forward and said, oh, he's been bragging
An
about killing
informant,
Susan. So that's how that all happened.
Which, like, I get that, but also, how reliable can prison informants be?
True.
Because
And this guy had a reason to lie because he had a bunch of convictions that he was hoping to get overturned, you know,
See?
for ratting him out. So,
and
yeah,
again,
who knows?
I'm not saying that the informant was lying, but I'm just saying I think there should be a lot of skepticism around prison informants.
Well, and this ended up being in 1989 when he was able to be convicted for Susan. So I think maybe they did do some DNA. I don't know. I didn't.
They might
I
have.
Couldn't find anything about that. He's still in prison. He's still alive.
Yeah. I mean, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then next we have the victim, the hobo con man, Richard Joe Tassler. I keep wanting to say Tasler because there's only one S, but Tasler. And
no,
I have some
Tassler.
photos of him, Tasler.
Which one is it? I'm confused now.
It's Tasler. That's how they pronounced it in the show.
Okay.
He disappeared May 1986. His body was found March 1990.
Whoa, that was a long time.
Yeah. And it was just because somebody had a tip. Oh, check into Joel's property.
Yeah. Oh.
So he was a jeweler. His place was Baubles Jewelry. And he was friends with his killer, Joel Smitherman. And they ran around and did business together.
Sure.
Drug trade.
Of course.
Is what they were.
Well, it was the 80s, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Tassler was last seen at a convenience store. And I went, is this the same convenience store as the other lady?
Setting a theme. Maybe don't go to that convenience store.
I hope that's closed.
Yeah. Yeah, or security's amped up.
All right.
Oh, I'm Maybe sure get some CCTV footage there.
Yeah. That night he went missing. He had stopped for gas and left his revolver there because he was to visit his mom and she didn't like him carrying a gun. And so he just left it there. Said, I'll be back for it after I go say hi to my mom.
He's like, here, Fred, watch my 9mm. I just got to pop over to mom's for an hour.
Yep. Well, he never came back.
That's unfortunate.
So there were numerous reports of him being seen all over the world, including Japan.
Oh.
So like they didn't take his missing very seriously because they were like, no, I saw him. So who knows? But it's on the death certificate. The informant is Angela Tassler. And I didn't know who that was because it said he was divorced. I thought it was a wife, but he was divorced.
Sister?
And his mother's name was Edith. It was his daughter.
Oh.
And his mother, Edith, she died in 1989, the year before his body was found. So she never.
Got
to find out what happened to him.
Oh.
I mean, she probably knows now.
She probably knows. As soon as she passed, she probably knew. But
yeah.
That's horrid.
So now on to Joel Smitherman.
Yes.
After Richard's body was found, at this time, Joel Smitherman was already serving a sentence for aiding and abetting and attempting to kill a federal witness.
Sure. As you do.
Yeah. And for distributing cocaine and conspiracy to distribute cocaine.
So how do you prove a conspiracy to distribute cocaine?
You got an email from somebody that says, hey, let's go give this cocaine to somebody.
I got some coke. You want to distribute it? And they're like, that's conspiracy right there.
Yep. If two people talk about doing something, it's a conspiracy. Two or more. U.S. attorney says he was, quote, trying to hire someone to kill the only witness who could connect him to the drug transaction. So you're going to go to prison for selling cocaine or murder? You choose.
Well, it's like the people who, instead of get divorced, they kill their spouses.
Yeah.
Like, really? That was a poor choice.
Yeah.
My guy, because it's almost always men. I'm just saying.
That's right.
I don't want to get divorced. I'm going to kill her.
Yeah. It'd be easier that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's because I don't want to split up the money.
Yes. Yes. Or they don't want to pay alimony.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Chris Watts, they want to just start a whole new life with no kids. Fucking hate that guy.
Oh, that guy's the worst.
Worst. All you had to do was watch in 1 second of an interview with him and you were like, he did it.
Yep.
He 100% did it.
That the first time I saw him standing on the porch,
I was like, he did it. That's the guy right there.
Fucker.
I just wish they'd come home. Well, really? Then you shouldn't have buried him in a fucking oil tank in the ground.
Right.
You fucking piece of shit.
Totally.
Sorry, I didn't tangent, but it's always the men.
Yeah, we're both pretty passionate about that case.
Oh my God.
I can't even stand to look at his face.
No, I can't even finish the sentence.
All right. So fun fact.
Yes.
This guy, the murder for hire that they were dealing with, his co-conspirator or co-trial, person that went on trial with him, a woman named Barbara Sharp from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, local.
Local
town. Look at us getting out there. For the wrong reasons, though, Barb. Yeah.
Right.
I don't want those.
No. So he wasn't convicted of Tassler's murder until April of 2005.
What?
Even though they uncovered the body in 1990 and the murder happened in 86.
20 years?
Yeah. So then I wrote, what the fuck is going on in Marshalltown Police in the 80s through the aughts? Two murders that took forever to solve. So I thought, maybe I'll look that up. Open cases in Marshalltown. 51 open cases of murder.
You should have pulled an Ellen and called up their police department and been like, why is this taking so long?
Get on it. Get on the stick.
What's the population of Marshalltown?
Oh, I don't know.
Because, like, if it's like 2 million people, then 51 isn't that much.
I don't think.
But if it's like 1,000, then 51 is kind of a lot.
Yeah. I think it's approximately 27,000. 27,886.
Are they
I
all
thought it was
murders?
Smaller than that. The 51, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep. So, and in the last episode, we talked about how many peels a person can make. And yep. If there are limits, and there are, they are not.
Can I guess?
Hard and fast.
Can I guess?
You can, but I won't be able to tell you what the answer is because there isn't really one.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm going to say 5.
Okay.
But I know it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know how many that guy had, though. I think it was at least 5.
Yeah.
But it says, yes, there are functional limits to the number of appeals, although not necessarily a hard fixed numerical limit on filing, especially in complex or capital cases. Defendants generally have an automatic right to one direct appeal after conviction, followed by opportunities for discretionary appeals to a higher state or federal courts, often capped by time limits, legal grounds, and finality rules.
Got it. So, like, they could appeal to, like, if they were convicted by the state or the city, for example, they could appeal to the state.
Yeah.
And if they declined it, then they could appeal to, like, the Supreme Court.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's per conviction, I would assume. So,
yeah,
like,
I think so.
If you have, like, 3 convictions, you get multiple appeals on each one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I
follow
suppose
us
if
for
all...
more legal advice.
Now we need to get pictures of ourselves as lawyers.
Yes. We have our Juris Doctorate and our MD.
Yeah, that's right.
Just getting a lot here.
Yep.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. That's nice and vague, which I expect nothing less from the government.
I know. Anyway, so now on to the 1903 fire. So we were gabbing during this whole time this guy was talking about the fire. I know that's surprising. I know
what?
That's hard to believe. I know.
Because this is the one we watched together, right?
Yes.
At your yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, I'm like, the 1903 fire. I wrote it down in my notes to look it up. And then I'm like, I don't remember anybody talking about a fire. Well, no, because we were yabbity-yakking the whole time. So they talked to a guy named Marty. That's the Marty Mitchell was the professional,
like,
that Steve went
to. Historian.
Yeah, he was an
historian.
I think he was a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
So it was a fire in 1903. Either Marty gave no details about the fire, or it was edited out. Then Marty, or the editing, made it sound like this man died in the fire, or at least right after it. He did not.
Really?
This is Ross Ingledew. Marty told us about a father and a son. The son is Ross. He was a firefighter. He was putting out this fire. It was a very cold night, and all the firefighters got very wet from the, putting out the fire, and it was very cold. So a lot of them got sick.
Yeah.
And so this was confusing to me. So Ross, the son, who was in the fire, it was a bitter cold night. The firefighters worked all night and they were soaking wet. He was the 4th member of the old Woodbury Hose Company under the volunteer firefighter department system to die as a result of a severe cold contracted while fighting a single fire.
Four people died from this?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
So Marty said that he had lung damage that led to TB, tuberculosis, which led to his death. And that's how the other 3 died. So I'm going to put a pin in that for right now. Ross was 24 years old. But this is, so Amy smells that burning and she says someone died here in a fire. I'm like, well, it's not Ross because he didn't die in a fire. So I think the show was edited to make us think it was Ross that Amy saw, but I don't think it was.
Especially if he didn't die the way that they said
he didn't
die
in the fire. And they never talked about it in the
reveal
either.
Yeah. Or if they did, they edited it out.
Yeah, exactly. So then the father, Ross's father, is Oliver Ingledew, also known as O.L. There's a picture of him in the drive if you want to look. I couldn't find a picture of Ross. Shortly after Ross's death, his father, Oliver, the mayor, buys the client's property. So then he served as mayor of Marshalltown from 1905 to 1911, and he was remembered for his interest in sanitation and garbage disposal in the city. And the articles I
To
found
be
did not
remembered
make
for
him look
worse
like a bad
things.
guy.
Yeah.
And Marty said that he was allowing alcohol during Prohibition,
Two
and
thumbs up.
I know. And but he made it sound like the way that Marty said it in the episode was like, because we were paying attention at this point. He said this guy did everything for himself. He only looked out for his own personal gains, blah, blah, blah. And you and I were like, that sounds like somebody we know. But anyways,
Every
I've got,
politician ever.
yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
But I felt like the show made him seem like he was more of a bad guy than the
Well, I mean, they've
information
done
that I
that
could
multiple
find.
times.
Yeah, I know.
So he passed
So
in 1923.
he passed in 1923 at age 61 of diabetes.
And diabetes. And when did Ross die?
Ross died in 07.
Oh, wow. So he lived a long time without him. 14 years.
Yeah.
Six. I don't know. Third, I don't know. Math. 16? I don't know.
Something like that.
Some number without him of
And
diabetes.
it diabetes. And this is where Amy was talking about where they kept showing, flashing to Amy, and she was tying her hair under her chin and she was fidgeting. And she said he did bad things. And I'm saying this does sound like it could be Oliver, but if she's saying he died in a fire, it's not, because Oliver had nothing to do with a fire.
No.
His son died 4 years after a fire as a result of getting sick, lung damage, blah, blah, blah. So then I looked into this because this is our medical, not a doctor section. Even though my mom always said I couldn't go outside with wet hair because you'll catch your death of cold,
Yeah,
I
that's totally
questioned.
not proven.
Yeah, I
That's
questioned the
complete
idea that one could get
legend.
TB from being out in the cold. So I turned to the Googs, and you cannot get a severe cold or any cold simply from being outside cold or wet, as viruses cause colds, not temperatures. So take that, Babs.
Plus, TB is not, it's transmitted via air.
Yeah, it's a
You
different
can't,
thing too.
yeah,
It's a
it's completely
bacteria.
different.
Yeah. So, however, being cold and wet can lower your body temperature and temporarily weaken your immune system, making you more susceptible to
Okay.
viruses if you are exposed to them. So then I looked up, can you get TB from being outside in the cold? No. It's caused by bacteria, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, not by temperature. However, getting cold and wet can stress your body, and prolonged exposure to cold may weaken your immune system, making you more susceptible to illnesses if you are exposed to the bacteria, especially through close contact with an infected person. So
Yeah,
it was
but
lung damage from fighting the fire, not the cold and wet. And yes, smoke inhalation can increase your susceptibility to
Yes.
tuberculosis, though it does not directly cause
Right.
tuberculosis.
Oh, that's good to know.
So, smoke damages the lungs' defenses, making it easier for the bacteria to establish an infection if you are exposed to it. So,
Maybe they just thought it was TB because they didn't have any other, like they didn't know anything
yeah,
else.
I mean, it
So
could
like
have been sure.
anything that they contributed to the lungs, they just said, well, that's TB, because what
Yeah,
else could it
it
be?
could be. Yeah, that could be. I'm thinking if one of those men got it and they were hanging out together, they were still friends and hanging out together, maybe they passed it around to the other, because four of them all died from the same thing.
And I mean, you got to think, at least nowadays, firehouses, they're pretty, like when they're on a shift, they're there for like 24, 48 hours, like
Yeah.
close contact,
Close contact.
probably
Yep.
sleeping in the same room, they're
Yep.
eating together,
Yep.
like they're in close contact. So
Yep.
if I think that's logical, where if one of them had something, it would be very easy to be passed around.
Especially if the others are already susceptible because they have
Yes.
damage to their lungs.
And weakened
Yeah.
immune system from,
Yeah.
for
Yeah.
sure.
Okay, turning on to, do you remember when they were doing the sketch and we were watching the sketch artist and he was going tap, 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 tap,
Yes,
tap,
yes,
tap?
yes, yes, yes. And we
And
were like,
you said, I think it's called pointillism.
yes.
And I didn't know because I'd never heard of that. And you were
Right.
like, I'm going with it. You were right.
Oh my God.
Ding,
I
ding,
love
ding.
those words.
I know.
I'm so
So
smart.
I had never heard of it, but I looked it up. And yes, painting using small, distinct dots of color that blend together when viewed from a distance is called pointillism.
That one really famous painting of the park where it's like
Yes.
the woman in the parasol is
Yep.
pointillism.
That is. And that it said that it's developed in the late 1880s by George Surratt. And when I saw that, I said, isn't that the set Sunday in the Park with George?
Yep.
And so I Googled it. Also, did I learn that is not the name of the painting? I thought it was. The name of the painting is A Sunday on La Grande Jetée.
Oh, okay.
Sundays in the Park with George is a Pulitzer Prize-winning musical by Stephen Sondheim.
Nice.
But it is inspired
Similar.
by that painting, A
Yeah.
Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jetée. So, not to be
Look
confused
at all
with,
that useless information that's
I
in my
know,
head.
but this is the thing. This I go, well, how about that? But then what about this? And then what about,
Yeah.
so that's why we're, yeah. And then also Grand Jeté is also a ballet term. It's spelled a little differently, and it means a big throw. It's basically when the dancer leaps up in the air and does the splits
Oh,
while they're ha in the air.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I do that every morning when I get up.
Oh, that's my workout.
Just grand jeté through the house.
Yeah, it's Grand Jeté. It's good for you.
Is, yeah.
Which then made me think of Marta, the little ballerina
Marta,
Marta.
yeah, who's a yellow
Yeah.
flower in the desert?
Yeah.
It all
Yeah.
comes
All right.
back.
That's all I got.
That's good. That was a lot. That's all you
As
got an hour later.
I an hour later.
That was a
Yeah.
good, that was a good
It
dive.
has been almost an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have all the links to all my sources, everything I found. I'll put it all in the, I probably won't put it in the show notes because that makes the show notes too long and then
Yeah.
they won't, they make me take part of it out.
Yeah.
But I have a blog post with all that stuff.
Perfect.
So you guys can
Perfect.
go over there and look at it and read even more, dive into more rabbit holes as you desire. And
As
if
your
you
little
do
heart's
that,
desire.
yeah, if you do that, come on back and comment on either the video
Yes.
or the blog post and say what you found, and we'll do some extra corrections or whatever if we need to.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and I think next time we record,
Yes.
we're gonna do in person again, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So, and we'll just I have all of the episodes that are eligible that we have not done yet in a hat of my dad's
Oh,
hat. So we just
yay.
pull one out of the hat
That was so fun.
and then we'll just
We'll do it.
we'll wing it. We'll wing
Yeah.
it.
It's how we always do it. Just
That's
kidding.
right.
Amy is very prepared.
Not
I'm the winger.
us, well, sometimes. I like not watching it ahead of time.
I do
I like
too.
watching it together. I know that we miss some stuff because we yammer too much, but we need to actually remember to pause
Yeah,
before we
we do.
yammer
Before we
instead of
yammer.
talking over it because then we miss it.
Because then we're like, wait, who said that?
Yeah.
True
And
story.
also, I got the whole episode edited and I put it up to YouTube, and YouTube said, no, to fuck not.
Oh.
So I did cut a lot out,
Yeah.
but apparently
Yeah.
not enough.
Not enough.
So
I
the,
really thought talking over it would be okay,
yeah, I
but
did too. I did
apparently
too,
not.
but apparently not. So I just, all I had to do is cover up the screen that had the Dead Files
Okay.
part in it.
Yep.
And I have it just made a note on there to say, if you want to see the whole thing with the Dead Files playing in the background, come over to Patreon because
Yeah.
that's where I posted
Yeah.
it. And that's
Okay.
where you'll be able to see it. So
Okay.
maybe we'll get some more patrons if you do it
Yay!
that
Come
way.
join
I hope
us.
so.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see you guys next
All
time.
right. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.